国际一小时
L'ora internazionale
L'ora internazionale
Die internationale Stunde
Dein internationaler Timmen
The International Hour
Welcome to the International Hour, a project that tries to connect international campus radio stations by doing a one-hour podcast where we discuss topics all around student broadcasting. My name is Alexander Klauer. I'm from the student radio in Regensburg, Germany, Studentenfunk Regensburg. And joining me today is Jack Martin. Hello, Jack. How are you doing?
Hey, how's it going?
Would you mind if you introduce yourself to our audience?
Yeah, sure. So as you said, Alex, my name's Jack Martin. I'm 21 years old. I'm from the University of Massachusetts Amherst, and I work at WMUA 91.1 FM at University of Massachusetts Amherst.
What kind of show are you doing there?
So back in Amherst, I have a show called The Basement, where it's a two-hour music show where me and my co-host Mike Connors play alt rock, indie rock, that kind of stuff. And in between, we'll do like 5 or 10 minute segments where we'll talk about like nerdy stuff like Star Wars or, you know, Harry Potter, video games and that kind of stuff. Basically, like we try to emulate a night at a friend's basement, and that's why we call it The Basement.
All right. That's good. Okay.
Yeah.
So what we wanted to discuss today was a really big topic. We could talk hours and hours about it, but we're going to talk 1 hour about it because this is called the International Hour and not the International Day. And we're talking about the future of audio broadcasting. The future of audio broadcasting. What is it going to be? Is it going to be podcasting? Is it going to be Spotify? Is it maybe going to be something else? I don't know. Is our use of traditional radio today, is it just nostalgia? Is this just a habit? Or is it still worth the traditional media, the traditional radio? And I wanted to start with talking about podcasting. Would you give us a short glance about how your campus radio station is handling podcasting? Do you have podcasts?
So not really. My station back home is mostly focused on live radio. So 24/7, 7 days a week, 365 days, we'll do live radio.
Do you miss having a podcast?
I've actually only started podcasting here at Belfield FM in Dublin.
All right, so that's has been your first podcast here.
Yeah, so my first podcast is called The Cantina, and I've been co-hosting it with another Alex, Alex White, a local Irishman. And it's been going well. We mostly talk about film and video games and kind of nerdy stuff like that. Yeah.
So your broadcast radio in back home in the United States does not really have podcasting.
Not really. I mean, you can. It's usually like an hour slot is given to podcasts, but most shows at WMUA is music oriented.
Because the way we would do it back in Germany in Regensburg is we have radio shows. Of course, they are live,
right?
But many of the radio shows will get uploaded later on a podcast, so it will be both ways: sending it out live and having it on demand. This podcasting thing is really a thing that has evolved in our campus radio station over the last semester, because I think starting the last summer semester, we had like 3 podcasts, and now we have like 9 or 10.
Right.
So it's crazily growing. And if you compare how many people tune into the live radio broadcast and how many people are tuning into the on-demand podcasting, it's really crazy. We have like 3 times the numbers in podcasting.
Oh, for
live
sure.
Broadcasting.
Yeah.
And I think that is because, of course, the advantages are clear. You can listen to it wherever you want, whenever you want. Also, a big advantage might be that you don't have like a big broadcasting company, right?
Yeah.
You don't need to have it.
Right. So I think something that I would like more about WMUA would be to focus more on podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
They are more focused on live radio stuff, which is fine. That's kind of what college radio is about in the United States.
Yeah.
But something that I like about Belfield FM, and something that it sounds very similar to what you're doing in Germany, is that like you do record it live, but it is uploaded later as a podcast, so people can go back and listen to it whenever they want. And I think that is a good direction to go into for student podcasting and just podcasting in general, honestly. I think if more radio stations, even like regular radio stations in the United States or anywhere, just uploaded their stuff afterwards as a podcast, I think more people would engage with it.
Yeah. That would really be the case. We've got a very special guy who wants to send out his opinion on podcasting. I think you know Howard Stern.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Howard Stern is, I think it's the most successful radio broadcaster in the world.
I would say so.
He has a show on satellite radio. It's called The Howard Stern Show, right?
I think so, yeah.
And he doesn't really like podcasting. He's more a fan of the more traditional media. And we will have a short glance into what he said on The Howard Stern Show about podcasting.
A guy I never heard of who basically is angry with me because I said that podcasts are bullshit. And he, of course, misses the point. He's a 41-year-old comedian I've never heard of, nor has anyone else. And he's dicking around with some podcast, and he's hurt that I said that podcasts are no good. Podcasts are fine. You want to make a podcast, sit in your room and make a podcast. You want to make money and become a broadcaster and actually get a following, you've got to put yourself to the test. If you want to be a comedian, you could sit in your room and do your comedy into a microphone, or you could go to a club.
Yeah, you could be the greatest comedian ever, only nobody would know it.
Right. You got to go to a club. And I'm telling you, if you want to become a radio broadcaster and make a living at this and get a following, you've got to go on terrestrial radio, not even satellite. You got to go on terrestrial radio and wait for the ratings book to come out. And you'll find out if you're any good. And this guy was peeing and crying and pissing and moaning because he's 41 and he never had a fucking career. If I had to make a career today and I made a podcast, nobody would know who I was. And that ain't being old. That's just the truth. You got to go to a market like Hartford, Connecticut, and beg someone to put you on the air, because don't think that's easy either. You got to go through a million auditions. But Riley has a podcast, and everybody's and his mother has a podcast, and none of them know how to broadcast. That's like a stand-up comedian sitting in his room the rest of his life doing stand-up comedy. How come he doesn't do that? What would you tell a young kid who wanted to be in comedy? Would you tell him to sit and do a fucking podcast, or would you tell him to go to a comedy club? You tell him to go to a goddamn comedy club, because then a live audience will sit there, and they will be your harshest critic. And if you can make them laugh, you're a comedian. And if you can't, you're shit. You're nothing.
So what do you think about this?
Okay, so there's a lot to unpack about that. But
it has only been for the first half.
Right. So I think the funniest thing about that is I'm sure 90% of people who've heard that listen to that as a podcast.
Yes.
Because Howard Stern uploads his shows later on so people can just listen to them anytime, right? He's not just live. So that is funny because to most people, Howard Stern is a podcast host. He's not a radio host because no one's listening to him live.
In our generation, maybe.
Yeah, in our generation.
Isn't it? You gotta introduce us to the radio landscape in the United States. There's like satellite radio, and that is paid.
Okay, so there's satellite radio, which is Sirius XM, I think, and that is paid. And then there's FM and AM, which obviously you have too.
And the podcast, are they also paid? Do you know that?
Podcasting for Howard Stern?
Yeah.
No, I don't. I actually don't know.
All right.
I feel like you could probably get it for free.
Can get it. Everybody uploads it on YouTube.
I would imagine.
Research for this show, and it was all just available for free. I didn't pay for it.
Yeah.
And so, in my opinion, I think Howard is misses a big point. But let's first start with something like a small point I agree on him with. Is maybe that going to a big broadcasting company first and having to test yourself in front of a big audience might not be a bad idea if you wanted to start broadcasting.
Yeah.
So if you're he's saying, yeah, you're broadcasting in front of the wall if you're doing podcasting. Of course, that's not true, but he's exaggerating. And it might be useful or helpful, even for the audience, in some occasions, to have a filter. To have a filter so that not everybody can come on the air, because if you have a broadcasting company that publishes live radio, there's already like a filter. So there's like a program director, and he says, oh, you're talented, you can go on, and you're not talented, you cannot go on. Because iTunes podcasts are overflooded by sex podcasts and trash.
Right, like what he was saying, like everyone and anyone has a podcast.
Yes. Because
you can just record something and then upload it to iTunes.
Yes.
So
that was the part where I would agree with him. The other way bigger part where I wouldn't agree with him is that he divides it by live audio broadcasting is like the big markets and the big companies, and on demand is just a guy sitting in his living room with a microphone he bought. And I think that this separation is not correct. You should rather separate it by okay, you do for a big company, for a big broadcasting company, whether it's live or on demand, who cares?
Right.
It would be the same if you have like a podcast and like a live radio station in your living room. You can do this also, and that would probably fall in the second category, right?
I honestly, there's some issues I have with what he was saying.
Yeah.
I think he's coming from obviously his background in radio.
Yes.
Where like in the 1980s and 90s, he like climbed up that ladder, and then he pretty much like helped create SiriusXM so that he could basically be unfiltered and say whatever he wanted on the radio. So he's coming from that perspective, which makes sense. If you do want to be involved in radio, you should study radio in college, or you should work for one of these production companies that is involved with radio. That is a good step to take. That's not to say that you won't be successful if you start your own podcast, because a lot of people do this. But I think another thing that helps people get their podcast going is some fame that they already have, right? Mm-hmm. So like a lot of comedians do have their own podcasts because they are comedians and because they have a following.
And they didn't get successful because of the podcast.
No, right. So I think there's something to say about people who are already known and who already have followings creating their own podcasts that people will already go and follow because they know them, right? I don't think Howard really thought about that because I don't know if he's out of the loop with that because he's a live broadcaster in his
mind. Probably seems it as an attack, right?
Yeah, because he's used to live radio, and that's what he grew up on, and that's what he is to himself. But I think to a lot of people, Howard Stern's a podcaster.
Yes.
And I don't know if he really realizes
At least for us millennials.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, like, no one has a radio anymore, right? If you have a radio, it's because you have a car.
Yes, because you have a car, yeah.
Everyone has a phone, and everyone has a pair of headphones to listen to.
Yeah.
You walk around any college campus, 90% of people will be listening to something in their ears. And it's probably, it's mostly music, but I listen to a lot of podcasts, and I'm sure a lot of people will also listen to a lot of podcasts. So having a podcast is just so accessible nowadays.
Yes.
And you have an audience that is like ready and willing to listen to your stuff.
And he also says like, if you want to start being a huge broadcaster, you have to start it in terrestrial radio.
Mm-hmm. Like you mean as in like live radio? Like
FM radio, FM we radio. Call it in Germany.
Right.
It's not existent for our generation. And I bet more people have a device where they can play a podcast with rather than have an FM radio machine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like so back home at WMUA, I broadcast to an FM stream, but it also goes to an internet stream.
Yes.
And 90% of people who are listening to it is on the internet stream. And it's 90% of those people are people I message saying, hey, I'm live in 5 minutes. Come listen to me.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
So people are engaging with radio nowadays, not in the traditional way where in the 1930s, everyone was huddled up in their living room listening to the radio as if it was like a fireplace or as if it was like the TV in the 1950s. But nowadays, people are listening to it on the internet. They're listening to it as podcasts at work, probably.
Yeah.
I know I do that. And they're engaging with it in different ways that they haven't been able to until this decade. And I think this decade has really changed like that landscape of radio and podcasting like pretty drastically.
I prepared a second part out of the Howard Stern Show. He's continuing his rant about podcasters.
And if you sit in your room and do a podcast, you're pretending to be a broadcaster. Take the podcast and throw it out the window. And the guy's crying. Howard is old. He doesn't know the business. He's just old. I'm old. So what? You're going to be old too. In fact, you're 41 and no one's heard of you.
That's not that young.
When I was 41, I was super fucking famous. Guy's a fucking moron. And you know what? Guys who are unsuccessful hate to hear the truth. They hate to hear it. You mean we actually have to work? I mean, can't we just go in our room and be our own boss and make a podcast? Howard's old. He doesn't understand podcasting. No, I understand it perfectly. You haven't experienced having massive amounts of people listening to you. That's radio. That's how it works. That's not being old. That's how it still works. It's such a stupid argument. Don't you think I've learned something? If you're doing a podcast, you're doing it for yourself, for talking to the wall, and to reach your three fans. You would probably reach more listeners yelling out the window than in your stupid podcast, genius.
Oh, my goodness.
Let me see this guy get a radio show on real radio.
Well, first of all,
and get an audience.
You were talking to Aliza about her podcast.
Yep.
And she's trying to jumpstart at some kind of career.
Right. It's not the way to do it. Well, the only way you have a career in radio, and by career I mean make money. You want to just do it for shits and giggles. Go ahead. Yeah, that's old fashioned of me. I guess, yeah, making money is old fashioned. And do stand, by the way, don't go to any clubs and do stand up too, by the way. According to this guy, you could just sit in your room and broadcast into your tape recorder. Dude, relax. Do all the podcasts. In fact, I hope everyone does podcasts because that'll just leave me as the world's greatest broadcaster. I'm still waiting to see a guy, a team, a morning show, get the kind of numbers I used to rack up on terrestrial radio. And then once you do that, you're a proven commodity. But Ari, here's what I would do if I was you. Skip the podcast. Knock on the door of a radio station. And since you're so scary talented, skip all the little markets. Go right to the majors. Go to New York City. Go knock on the program director's door and have them put you on the air. And then we'll wait a couple of months. We'll give you 2 or 3 ratings books and we'll see how you do. And my guess is you'll bomb. You will bomb. And then you go back to doing a podcast. And then bitch about how regular radio is old and irrelevant. Stupid ass. You dummy.
I feel like this is taken out of the 80s.
Oh, yeah.
Because then, back then, it might be true. Might have been true.
Yeah, so the thing about that clip is that he's obviously very defensive. And no one would be that aggressive if someone, like, isn't attacking their profession. Yes. And for some reason, he feels that someone is attacking his profession.
Do you have examples from the United States or from Boston or in general of podcasters that became huge, that became successful, that became... like a well-known figure around the world.
Yeah. So not from
a big podcasting corporation, but from
just from starting off.
Yeah.
I don't know if I know anyone just starting off who developed their own podcast and like kind of made a name for themselves. I think that's more in the line of like YouTubers who like start and then eventually like do their own podcast. But I think people that I know who started off who were very, you know, had a really small audience and then started to grow it was IGN.com. Do you know IGN?
No.
IGN is probably the biggest video game website in the world. And this podcast...
Oh, IGN. All right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And this podcast called Podcast Beyond was started in 2007. And it was just like 4 guys sitting around a couple of microphones and just talking.
Yeah.
And they had a very little audience. And this was around the time when podcasts were like just starting, where if someone said... like, do you listen to podcasts? Someone would probably be like, what's a podcast?
Yeah.
Because no one knew back then. And then they really, like, kind of rode the wave of the podcast bubble that kind of started, mm-hmm. like, in mm-hmm. this decade. And that audience is absolutely huge now. And people who created that podcast went on to make their own company, pretty much. And now they make multiple podcasts as their business.
Yes.
So.
In Germany, we have a pretty successful... podcast that's on Spotify.
Mm-hmm.
So it's with 2 comedians and nearly everybody in my friendship knows it.
Oh, yeah.
So, probably Howard is a little... is really a little old. I don't...
Yeah.
Or maybe we're just too young. I don't know.
No, I mean, we are young and that means we have a different generation. We have a different way of viewing things.
Yeah.
And that is absolutely clear with podcasting because... do you know anyone who actually like listens to the radio, like who has a radio set and listens to it and tunes it to like an FM dial?
That is an interesting question.
Because I don't.
Dentists, of course, in the waiting room.
Sure, yeah, right.
In the car, even in the car, I would do it because we have a lack of good network coverage in Germany.
And
that's the only reason.
And here's the thing. I think that is kind of, even listening to it in the car is going away.
Yeah,
because everyone has an aux cord, or everyone has Bluetooth. You know what I mean?
Yes. I did this very weird thing on my old VW Polo,
mm-hmm.
where do you know the thing where you can put it like a tape cassette?
I was going to say the same thing
in the tape recorder, and then there's an aux cable.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I'm a computer scientist. I don't know how it works.
Yeah, I don't know. I have the same thing in my 1998 Honda Accord. Yeah.
It looks so weird, but it works.
I have to say though, I get those tape cassettes with the aux cords, and they always break.
They break so quickly.
Because they're so cheap.
You have to have a subscription. Like every other month, you get like a $10 disc. From Amazon.
How do those work? I don't understand it.
I think there might be because the old cassettes, they work that way, that there's like on the top of it, there's like a contact, a metal contact.
Oh, I know exactly what you're talking about, yeah.
And of course, the thing in the car won't convert the digital signal of your phone to or the analog signal from the aux cord to a tape. Mm-hmm. It won't print it on the tape.
No.
So it's just probably using this connector, which is probably a standard analog connector.
That makes sense. That's the computer scientist in me. That is, I would not.
That has nothing to do with digital. We only deal with digital stuff in computer science.
Yeah, that's true.
Anyways,
So what's your take on this clip, I guess?
As I already said, I think that Howard maybe is a little, he already made so much money, and maybe he doesn't understand that it could also make a person happy if it's just for fun, or even you can be successful, but you don't have to be like the big star.
Right.
You can be successful in podcasting, while not having a million audience.
Yeah. I think there is something to what he's saying, is that if you go to a company that's already established, you're going to have an easier time building an audience. I think there's a lot to say about someone who starts their own podcast and amasses their own audience.
Yeah.
I think that is a lot more difficult.
That is a lot more difficult.
Than starting out with an established brand that builds you up rather than you building something else up.
Because you have so many experts that can support you and can teach you.
Right.
I mean, even the student radio stations where we go, I don't know how it's handled at your station, but we have seminars, we have tutorials, and you learn it by doing in a professional radio studio. So that's the difference. All right, so the future of radio doesn't only contain spoken word, which is like podcasting.
Right.
It also contains music, probably most of it is music. So what would be the future of music broadcasting? Or will there be music broadcasting? Or is everybody just using Spotify?
Yeah, I think that's an interesting question. I would say most people nowadays just use Spotify or Apple Music or whatever they're using. And the thing with that is, it's really difficult to broadcast music because of FCC regulations or whatever is your government's regulations on them. There's weird things where you can't play like three songs of the same record label or the same album.
We have the exact same rule in Germany with the Rights Association. Yeah,
yeah. Like even on like live radio, you can't even do that. It's really weird. And my station at least we have to play three new songs an hour.
All right.
And for us, three new songs is songs that have come out within the past 3 months. Mm-hmm. So there's so many rules and regulations regarding music because it's such a huge business.
Yes.
And there's a lot of money involved, where I think it's going to get, it already is, but like if you convert that to an online streaming service, as in like not Spotify, but as in like a radio, there's a lot of issues with that. And like I can't record a podcast with a song in it and upload it. Anytime I record a podcast here, I have to cut the music out.
That's also what I wanted to talk about later, is how what is still radio doing for us today that online can't do yet. And probably one of the things is that you're not able to upload music in podcast. That's probably the same situation in your country as in my country.
Oh yeah,
the legal situation. Yeah, I can kind of understand it, because otherwise you could just do a podcast of, I don't know, Radiohead.
Yeah.
And then play 1 hour of Radiohead and nobody would buy the recordings, which nobody would do anyways because there's fucking Spotify.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I wish things were more lax when it came to music. Even on YouTube, you can't even have a song on YouTube, or like 15 seconds, you know what I mean?
So one obstacle might be the legal situation. You also told there was like you can't, the FCC, which is like they control what you say and whatnot. There's like an institution, a state institution from the government.
It's the Federal Communication Commission, something like that.
Yeah.
And they control basically what is allowed to be on air. And there's you know George Carlin.
Yes.
I'm sure.
Yes.
He is responsible for the seven deadly swears. Are you familiar with
these? Yes, I'm familiar with that.
I'm not going to say them, but these are the only legally, these are the only words that you cannot legally say on air. And they mandated that rule because of George Carlin.
George Carlin, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, so the seven deadly swears, look them up, I'm not going to say them. You cannot say those on air, but you also can't say a bunch of other words.
Can you say them in this country, though?
In this country?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know their regulations.
Let's try it.
I mean, we're internet only here, so we can say whatever we want. But a lot of songs blur out goddamn.
Oh my god.
So like Panic at the Disco's most famous song, they're like closing the goddamn door. They always say closing the damn door.
What are they going to do with Dr. Dre then? Not play him at all, or just beep,
a lot of beeps, stuff like that. So it's, they control a lot about what you can and can't say.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's still an issue online because, like, I don't know, the same rules apply, I feel.
In Germany, it's actually quite different
mm-hmm.
because you can say, of course, you can't do certain things, but what concerns swearing, I think you can do much more in Germany,
okay.
swearing. And they won't bleep out the swear words in the songs. Maybe because they're English and many don't right. understand them. It comes from a time where less people spoke English in Germany.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I think because I don't know, does it really make a difference?
I mean, I think that's a difference between our cultures because
yes.
my culture is very, I feel like very strict regarding things like violence,
yeah,
sex. And any sort of thing that is considered quote unquote bad, and that would be swears and like vulgarity and that kind of thing.
No, I'm not a legal expert, but I really think that the rules are not as strict in Germany, and you can say much more. Even here, when we got the introduction for this radio station, Belfield FM, where we are recording this right now,
mm-hmm.
Belfield FM in Dublin, by the way, University College Dublin. We got this introduction, and we were basically told that we could say everything that comes to our mind.
Yeah, as long as it like didn't damage the radio, or
as long as we don't get lawsuits for insulting anybody.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think that's how it should be. And I think what I like about Belfield FM compared to WMUA, and I love WMUA. But
what about the children?
Right. and so what I love about Belfield FM is because of its internet only stream, mm-hmm. you can say whatever you want, and I think that's how it should be. But It's more difficult to reach an audience, I think, in a way, when you're online only, because for WMUA, like, people are driving around listening in their cars.
Yeah.
So people are basically, like, I don't want to, like, say this in a bad way, but, like, people are, like, forced to listen to the station, because if you're in your car, you're going to be listening to a station, and you might as well listen to college radio. So
there was a big debate in Munich, because they had this student radio. It was called M94.5, and the Bayerische Landeszentrale für Neue Medien, which is like an institution, probably not that like the FCC, but they give out the frequencies for the radio mm-hmm. broadcasting, and they canceled their license for the FM how do you call it, frequency?
Yeah,
and they said, all right. You're young people. All young people have phones. They will just stream it on their phones. And you don't need it. And we're going to sell it, the frequency, to another just commercial average radio station, which is nothing special.
Right.
And my take on that, my stance on that was, all right, it might be that this is the future. But let's look at how it is now. You can push one button in your car and a radio comes out. Network coverage... in Germany, in cities it's better, but if you go out of the cities, in the rural areas, it's so bad. It's so bad.
Like Wi-Fi and that kind of thing.
Yeah. Like LTE and 4G. It's so bad. You can, in most occasions, you can't have like a fluent broadcast.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm traveling from the city where I live to the city of Regensburg, where the student radio station is and where I study, and I'm in the train,
mm-hmm.
and I try to listen to the broadcast. Like 30% of the time, I will get a signal through,
right,
and the rest is just buffering.
Right. There, I feel like there's definitely something to say about that with the future that I think we're heading to.
Yeah,
which would be, I think, online only. But there is still a huge, huge issue with network coverage, as you were saying. Even in the United States, in a lot of places, it is absolutely terrible.
Yeah, so I don't get this argumentation of the Bayerische Landeszentrale für neue Medien, which is a quite difficult word, even in German.
Yeah. I cannot say that.
We'll try it later.
Yeah, we'll try.
I don't really agree with them because they probably will have a huge decrease in listeners.
Yeah.
And that's not really motivating if you start broadcasting.
Right.
Like, it doesn't show, how do you say that? They don't estimate it. They don't appreciate it. They don't appreciate really like a different media landscape rather than that's just the commercial average radio stations playing top 40.
Yeah.
And that's not a good signal to send out to the radio youth communities.
Right.
All right. We were still talking about music and the future of music in broadcasting.
Yeah, yeah. What's your take on that?
Spotify kills the radio star.
Oh,
of course.
Yeah, absolutely.
In many perspectives, but there's one big exception. One big exception. At Studentenfunk Regensburg, we have many shows, basic English grammar mistake, and many shows just having music on, and the theme of the music, we have like a hip-hop show, like a rock show, and it is very, very nicely curated, and they are also telling something about the music. They are telling us why they like the music, why they chose this music for this day. They might sometimes have a few bands on who play live.
Mm-hmm.
And this whole show that is put together, I think it won't be dead in the future. I think it won't. But maybe it will be different, that maybe it will be like a hybrid of on-demand and live streaming,
mm-hmm.
so that we maybe have sometime in the future an opportunity to have something like a podcast with music. Or even imagine a Spotify playlist. But in between the songs, they are like 5 minutes of talking.
Mm-hmm.
So you play a playlist on Spotify, and you have like the introduction, and the hosts introduce themselves and say what's going to happen, and then first song, like a typical radio show.
Right.
But you can also skip, if something you don't like a song, you skip it, and then you are on the next presentation of the hosts.
Now, I will say, those do exist already, but not in the way that you're probably thinking.
Okay.
So, in podcast form, I don't think you could find those on Spotify or Apple Music or whatever. But on YouTube, have you heard of Audio Tree Live?
No.
So Audio Tree Live is basically a radio station that invites bands to come on and play live for them. Uh-huh. And in between and like before, they'll talk to the band and like introduce themselves, whatever. And they'll play songs, and in between each song, they'll interview them like about whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So it's basically like this 30-minute to an hour conversation with the band, but they're also playing live.
All right, but is that really something for the masses? Because not everybody has a band playing live, and
right.
I think if you play records, it might be really, really difficult if you don't have licensed the music, and it might get really difficult. So what I wanted to say is we would need like a solution for the masses.
Mm-hmm.
So that they have easy access. Maybe Spotify or Naps or whatever could have come up with something like that. Apple Music.
Yeah. So how do you envision that? Like, what do you think that'll look like?
Kind of like I said, like a playlist, and you have like parts where people speak.
Yeah.
And you have parts where music is on.
So you think like more casual, like conversations with the band, but also them playing. Yeah.
But also them playing or tapes. Yeah.
Okay.
Or if you just put the live playing aside, just a basic radio show, just a guy, 2 hours,
mm-hmm.
talking about his music that he likes and playing it, will never die, and we will need to find a way that we can still ensure this in the future, that this will be possible.
So I would love to have that happen, especially like with my radio show back home. That's basically what we do.
Yes, is exactly.
We play music, and then we shoot the shit in between and just talk about whatever.
You shoot the shit? Well,
oh, shoot the shit?
Shoot the shit.
Do you know that expression?
No, I don't know.
Shoot the shit is just like talk about whatever.
All right.
I'm glad I'm introducing all these phrases too.
Might be a very good title for a podcast or a radio show.
Shoot the shit? I bet that exists. But
okay.
If it doesn't, go ahead and take it.
Okay.
But yeah, no, I would love for that to happen. Because my show is playing back home, playing music and talking about whatever in between. So I would love to be able to put that out somewhere, but I can't. All right. What I could do is cut the individual chunks where we're talking into, like, I don't know, a 30-minute podcast, but in those chunks, we are engaging with a live audience, so we're talking about the songs we played, so it really wouldn't even make sense to do that.
So the famous Spotify guys I talked to you earlier about in Germany, they are used to having a radio show, and what they're doing is, oh, we make a short break now, and you tune into this song on this playlist, which nobody does, of course.
Oh, yeah.
So they'd advise them to search it on their own, and nobody does it.
Yeah, I mean, that's too much work.
A thing that I find very upsetting and funny at the same time is that there's like a... that the old radio stations are struggling to survive, and one of the big radio stations in Bavaria, it's called Bayern 3, Bavaria 3, there's an ad, and they say, oh, it's attacking Spotify, basically, and they're saying, oh, you want a hand-curated playlist, then better you listen to traditional radio, which is, they might not have heard that Spotify has hand-curated playlists since 4 or 5 years.
Right.
And this advertisement is just an embarrassment. So
yeah.
And why would I just listen to a playlist that is curated for everybody? Then it's not curated for me.
Yeah.
And I probably won't like most of it.
Yeah. The thing with radio stations nowadays that play music, I love college radio.
Yeah.
I think that's the way. If you want to listen to good music, listen to college radio. But if you listen to big companies that, like, big radio companies that broadcast live and play music, it's all mainstream stuff and it's not good. You probably wouldn't like it. I mean, unless you're like into that kind of music. But like, if you want to hear like alternative music and you want to hear stuff that is new and exciting, you probably won't hear that on the radio, which
you know,
is sad.
You know what? I think that these traditional famous mainstream broadcasting stations are mostly listened by people who don't care at all about music.
Oh, yeah,
about the music what they listen. They'll have Bryan Adams and the next song will be like how is it, Hannah Montana thing?
Miley Cyrus. Yeah.
And they won't care.
Yeah.
And there will be a farmer on his, how do you call it, tractor?
Sure.
Yep. Yeah. And he will listen to Miley Cyrus and he won't care. I've seen that happen.
So you've seen a farmer on his tractor listening to Miley Cyrus. That's,
yes. And I'm thinking about it. Do you really not care about what you're listening?
Right.
Or do you just like Miley Cyrus?
I think a lot of people are, I don't want to say lazy, but they don't engage with music in a way where they go out and find it themselves. They want it to be curated to them.
Yes.
And if... my advice to those people, which is, that's totally fine.
Yes, it's fine.
My advice to you is to go to Spotify or go to Apple Music, because they have really good, like what you were saying, they have really good curation systems that will, if you type in an artist that you like, they'll give you similar artists that are very similar to that artist and will start branching you into new directions that I don't think modern radio stations do for you. Because if I go home and listen to 92.9, FM in Boston. Sorry, is it 92.9? Yeah, 92.9 in Boston. It's supposed to be like the alt-rock station, but they only play like 90s music, which is fine. I like 90s music, but they don't play anything new. There's so many bands in Boston that are coming up. Like, the Boston music scene is very big, and there's a lot of great artists, and they play none of them.
Yeah.
Like, there's like some, one of my favorite bands, Wunderbar, that I've talked to you about, has never been on that station. And like, they're like one of the faces of alternative rock in Boston, and they're never on that station.
What my parents would oppose to this would probably be like, but at least we're not paying for the radio, and you pay $10 a month for your, or $5 a month if you're a student, for your Spotify.
Mm.
And what I would respond is, okay, go to YouTube.com. Go to YouTube.com. And just type in any song you like.
Right.
I think YouTube has this new service, at least it's new in Germany. You can just listen to everything for free.
Yeah.
Just for free.
Oh, yeah.
Most of them don't even have ads.
So what I'll say to that is they did pay for their radio because they bought a $23,000 car or whatever to listen to it. But the thing with Spotify and iTunes is that it's just so cheap, and it is so criminally cheap. You can get Spotify Student for $5 a month.
Yes.
That service is worth $100 a month.
Or... I think they stopped. It stopped working now, but you could have like a family account.
Yeah,
yeah, and then you have it with your friends.
You can also exactly. Or you can also do with your Spotify Premium, you can get access to like Hulu in the United States, which is like Netflix.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So it's like a limited access. So like you still get ads on Hulu, but like still you have this giant catalog like just because you have a Spotify account, which is awesome. Honestly, I think Spotify is worth $100 a month. That I think that's how good it is.
Really?
Yeah.
You would pay that?
I wouldn't pay it. I think that's what it's worth.
What it's worth. All right. Yeah, interesting. So we already talked about, is the future of radio podcasting? We already talked about, is the future of broadcasting Spotify, or maybe a fusion of podcasting and Spotify? What are occasions for traditional radio where it still has its right to exist? Can radio survive the fundamental change that's happening now in the media landscape? And for which occasions is traditional media, traditional radio, still useful and will always be useful?
I think radio, like FM and AM. I'll say more about FM because I don't really know too much about AM. But I don't think that'll go away anytime soon. I think it's still going to be here for a decent amount, but I do think it's on the way out.
Do you include, when you're talking about FM, do you include live streaming radio?
Like live streaming via
the internet?
No, because I feel like that's sort of new, right?
Yeah.
Like traditional radio is FM and AM.
And the big corporations.
And the big corporations or whatever.
Yeah.
And I think that will still be around for a while, but I do think there will be a shift where you're actually already seeing it. So National Public Radio in the United States is the big radio station or the big radio whatever broadcaster. I know NPR not because of their live broadcast, but because of their podcast. So I listen to Up First, and it's like 10 or 15 minutes of the news you need to know to start your day.
Yes.
They also did Serial, which is the podcast that started everything else.
Mm-hmm.
That podcast came out, and then everyone else started to have a podcast.
Yes.
That is the reason podcasting exists, is because of, well, not exists, but like is so popular nowadays, is because of Serial. And that was an NPR production, and they obviously started on the radio, like just FM stream or FM frequency.
NPR is public radio, right?
NPR is public radio.
Okay.
Yeah. So I think these broadcasters, like what NPR is doing, and I think a lot of other companies are doing, are shifting the way they, you know, make their content. They put it out live, and then they put it out again as podcasts. And I think that is probably the way things are going to go.
Yes. And my take on this would be probably, I have a student radio show back in Germany.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, even though, as I said, we get 3 times the ratings in on demand, it is still an event that is happening every Wednesday at 8 p.m. Mm-hmm. or whenever. People can tune in, and it's like an event. They have it maybe, probably not in the calendar, but they have it like in their brain schedule.
Right.
And they remember it. It's every Wednesday, and we can tune in, and it's like an event. And we can also, which is a big part of it, communicate with the hosts. We can also interact. We can also participate in this, and we cannot really participate at it if we are having a podcast. You can write in the comment section,
right?
Which nobody will read.
I think that's an excellent point that you bring up. Are you familiar with Twitch, like the video game streaming service?
Yes.
So a podcast, actually a couple podcasts I listen to, Kind of Funny Morning Show and Kind of Funny Games Daily, release their podcasts on Twitch.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll record it live, so the audience is there.
Yeah.
And so they probably get about 1,000 live viewers with the morning show, and probably 1,400 to 2,000, those numbers are out of my ass, for the Games Daily podcast that they do. So they can engage directly with the audience while they're recording live, which is what you were talking about. And I think that's probably a good way to do podcasts nowadays, because you can, if someone doesn't like what you're talking about, you can kind of like steer off in a new direction that your audience wants you to talk about. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think that is definitely a way companies are like heading, is have that live comment section there so the audience can engage with what whoever's talking about is talking about.
And of course, other examples would be sport broadcast.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody cares about a live game sports.
Right.
As podcast about the live
game.
Oh,
yeah. Sport. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Or election results, news in general. If there's something, an event, a big thing happening right at the moment, you you have to get information about it in real time, and not even 1 or 2 hours later.
Yeah.
But you want to know it now. like a news network. Yeah,
that is, yeah, that is something like what you're saying. I think that that live radio still holds against podcasting now, is that immediacy to release news when it's happening, right? Like what you were saying, the election, yeah. Like that is something obviously that live radio has an edge over podcasting. But I think combining recording your podcast live with that comment section and with your audience, like you can kind of shift those two together.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably the way that things are heading.
And let's just look to the past, mm-hmm. in the last minute here, or the last few minutes. Look at ancient Romanian theaters, or Romeo and Juliet, or other forms of media that have not died out completely, mm-hmm. still today. So I think we still go to theaters. Do you go to theaters? Maybe not that much, but they
here and there, I guess.
They exist. We have a drama society, yeah. here at UCD, just below us, I think.
I go to movie theaters.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that still exists.
Yeah.
And I think radio will not die out. Mm-hmm. Radio will not die out. It will become more of a niche in the form that it's now. It will become more of a niche, and some of the formats will evolve, as we expressed it earlier. And maybe also some of them will die out, like, yeah. for example, just a guy having a top 40 show and saying the weather.
Right.
Nobody cares.
Yeah. I think radio is popular now more than ever, but it depends on how you look at it. So I would include podcasting with radio, because if you go on Apple Music and you go to the podcast section, it's overflowing with podcasts.
Yes.
And like really successful ones. And I think people engage with radio now in a very interesting way than obviously they could have in the past.
Yes.
Because back before the internet, if you miss a broadcast, it's gone.
Yes.
It's gone forever.
It's gone forever.
Unless, like, I know there's collections of tapes of...
Yes, the archives, and you mail the radio station, yeah. and they have maybe tapes, and they sell it to you for $100.
Yeah. I mean, and that's just absurd. Yeah. But if you wanted to do that, you could have. But nowadays, if you miss something... It's there. Nothing on the internet that goes on the internet is dead forever. You can find something.
Yeah.
And I think there's something to say about that with radio, because people can engage with radio when they want to,
yes.
and where they want to.
Yes.
I think it's very important. Something I would do at my job at a golf course that I had for like 3 years, I would be like mowing grass, watering grass,
yeah.
a lot of grass maintenance. and while I was doing that, I was constantly listening to podcasts. Anything, like video game podcasts, I'd listen to news podcasts, basically anything. And I could do that because I had time to do that. And I think engaging with radio is something that people do while they're doing other things. So, like, if you're doing a menial task, or if you're just sitting at home playing video games or whatever, you can listen to radio. And I think that's pretty great.
Well, that wraps it up pretty good. It wraps up the hour, the International Hour, which has been a podcast of Jack Martin. When can we listen to your show?
You can listen to The Cantina on Belfield FM live at belfieldfm.com every Wednesday, 4 p.m. Irish Standard Time. And if you can't join us live, that's fine. You can find us on SoundCloud by searching The Cantina.
Jack, thanks for being here.
Yeah, thank you so much, Alex.